Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 10. It's only about 2.5 weeks till Christmas, not far away. It's kind of hard to believe the year has passed, the year is almost over. But Christmas is a special time. The month of December, really, is a very special time. It should be a very happy time. It should be a time for family. It should be a time to be in church and do special things and do things for others. So there are a lot of good things that happen during Christmas. And I realize there's some bad things happen. People get in fights at malls and, you know, Walmart's a dangerous place sometimes this time of year. People get angry and upset, but by and large, I think for most people, it's a happy time. It's within the world, it's a fairly happy time and sort of a joyous occasion. But as we know, Christmas is more than about family gatherings and Christmas presents, and it's certainly more than going shopping and all the activities that can be done in the Christmas season. But there is joy at Christmas for other reasons, and there are scriptural reasons, biblical reasons. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching for what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we see the prophets inquired about this very event. They look forward to it. They want to know what or what time that the Lord would come. When would this Messiah be born? And that's important to understand a little bit of Jewish history to realize the importance of those prophets. For the nation of Israel, we talk about the sovereignty of God. He sovereignly chose the nation of Israel to be his people. That doesn't mean everyone who's a descendant of Jacob is a believer, but he chose that nation of people, those children of Jacob, as a special group, sovereignly. Why he didn't choose Italians or French or English, I don't know, but he chose those and arbitrarily did so, sovereignly did so. From time to time, you see the nation of Israel committing sin, going into idolatry. Sometimes you see them come back and repent. We see periods of revival. We saw them go into captivity for punishment. So they came back from Babylon, but never restored to the prominence that they once had. So the prophets, through all those things, would tell them that God will judge their sin. God also promised them someone would come who would be a righteous ruler, so that he would sit on the throne of David. It would be a righteous kingdom, and it would have no end to it. So the Jews were looking for someone like that. They thought at some point there would be a Jewish leader come who would sit on that throne, and they would destroy all their enemies, and they would live in peace, and there would be no problems. So it was something that was in the foremost of their mind. They thought of that frequently. So the prophets wrote of that, and we heard in Isaiah this morning. The prophets looked forward to that day. We know that it was promised where he would be born, in Bethlehem. We have many, many prophecies. So the prophets inquired, and they looked into it. They didn't know exactly when it would happen. They didn't know when he would come. But they looked forward to that, and they prophesied, and they were hoping for that day, that finally there would be peace on earth. And we didn't, the average person did not know the time when that would happen. But we know now that, in fact, he did come. Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, it said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So that happened at the, as we call it, the Christmas story in the Matthew and Luke. It tells us when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was that Messiah. That day had come. The prophets inquired, they looked forward to that. For centuries they looked forward to that. And there were prophecies, very specific. And they were anxious. They wanted that day to come. You know, if you think about this for a second, people within the world even today, are so many are looking for help. They're looking for something. They need help. Help with their home, their family, their marriage, their children, their finances, their job, their personal life, their health. There's so many people looking for help in so many different ways. And if there could be someone come and just magically make everything better, think how wonderful that would be. That was the anticipation of the prophets. Someone would come and everything's going to be better. We're going to be happy, we'll be at peace. So they inquired, they looked forward to that day, and it was going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. Then it goes on and tells us in verse 12, at the end of the verse, says, "These things the angels desire to look into." Now the prophets inquired and searched, the angels desired and looked on God for his predicted plans. The prophets died and never saw the fulfillment. The angels did not, and they desired, when is this going to happen? They were interested. They were anxious. You know, they wanted to see that day come. They certainly desired that day. 1 Peter 1:12 says, which things the angels desire to look into. So the prophets were interested in what? They were interested in the time of their predictions, and they, some of them appointed centuries later that this would happen. But the angels had the advantage of hearing the prophecies, but they were able to look down upon earth when it actually occurred and participate as part of it. So apart from the angels coming and making the announcement, no one would really have understood what the purpose of Jesus' coming was all about. So God had these angelic messengers appear so that people would understand the significance of the birth of Christ. I don't think the shepherds would have understood, because the shepherds were in the field and the angel appeared in a multitude of angels. They wouldn't have known what it meant. Jesus would have been born, but the shepherds would not have known why. We know that the angel came to Mary and came to Joseph. They might not have understood what happened. How can I be pregnant not knowing a man? Joseph, how can my wife be pregnant? We've had no relationship together. How is that possible? The angel made it clear. So the angels brought joy. They brought understanding. And so it was an important role that these angels played. We don't see angels. There are times when they have appeared before people, the Bible tells us, but we don't see them. They are immortal beings. They were created by God. Some of those have fallen, and none of them have died. We know that angels are about us. They're messengers. That some of them appeared at that time of the announcement of the birth of Christ. But there are five appearances in Scripture, and I want to kind of go through those to see the importance of the message of the angel. First of all, Gabriel came to Zechariah announcing the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, was the forerunner. People wanted to know, who are you, John? And, you know, what is your title? What is your role? Are you that other prophet? Who are you? He said, I'm just a voice in the wilderness. I'm just a voice preparing the way for one who would come. But it was an important role that John the Baptist played. In fact, the Bible says there's none greater than John the Baptist. He was a great prophet, a great man. The end of the Old Testament prophets. So he predicted that day would come, but the angel predicted the birth of John the Baptist. Then we have the appearance of the angel to Mary to announce the birth of Christ, that what you have is the Son of God. It was explained to her. Then there is the appearance of an unnamed angel to Joseph. Now, I'm glad that the angel explained to Joseph what was going on and the importance of that. The appearance of one angel and then the multitude of angels in the field at Bethlehem, announcing to the shepherds that all the people in the community then would know what had happened. And then finally, there was an appearance of an angel to Joseph in a dream, warning them of the... Then they escaped down to Egypt. But there are five appearances of angels. In the center of them, there's Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. So there are three messages, I believe, out of those particular appearances of the angels. So I want to talk about that. Go back with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. First of all, there is the message to Mary. So the angel appeared to Mary and gave her a message. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." She evidently was afraid. She didn't know what was going on. And the angel said, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So there are four main points to that message. First of all, Mary was to have a son. Okay, they didn't have to do any DNA test or ultrasound. They said, "You're going to have a son." That was exactly what she had, a son. And he was going to be given a name, Jesus. And that's important. We'll talk about that later. Which means Savior, the Lord saves. And that he would be great. In fact, he is the Son of God. He would sit on the throne of David. That's very important. There's a covenant, a Davidic covenant, that this kingdom would go on and someone would sit on that throne. Jesus will be the one to sit on that throne. And then his birth would be in fulfillment of all the prophecies of all the Old Testament. So the coming of the Messiah, this is going to be the fulfillment. It's what everyone looked forward to. I'm not sure that young ladies anticipated, "I wonder if I could be the one," or, but there was the knowledge that this Messiah would come, would be born by somebody. And so the message came to Mary to explain. Here's the thing that I see out of the announcement of the angel, that God has not forgotten his people. Now, this has gone on a long time. People are waiting and waiting and waiting, but God is not in a hurry and God is never late. In his according to his time, this promise was fulfilled. And so, at the Bible says at the appointed time, she gave birth to a son. And that meant that God had not forgotten his people Israel. There is a Savior born. The Messiah has come. Sometimes we look at our problems and we think, "God, are you still there? Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten my problems and my struggles?" And it's a reminder. God does not forget. God knows our needs. He knows our problems. He knows what we might need next week, even before we know it. But God has a timetable and a plan, something that we don't fully understand. But he has never forgotten his people. For those that know him as their Savior, if you've been born again, the Bible says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It tells us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know that he's with us always, even to the end of the world. He watches over us. Of 7 billion people on the earth, he knows about every person. You say, "How is that possible?" Remember, he's God. If he was a human being, he might know 75 people, 150 people. He couldn't possibly know 1 million people. But he's God. If he wasn't God, then we're in trouble. Then we would have no Savior. We'd have no message. There would be no change in anyone's life. He is God that created this world and put it into motion. And he knows about every one of us, every problem that we have, every struggle. He has not forgotten his people. And he had not forgotten Mary, and he had not forgotten the Jewish people. So it's a reminder the day had come and the fulfillment came. There's a second message, and that is the message to Joseph. Joseph was in a very difficult position. So the angel appeared to explain to Joseph what was happening. Now, it's important to understand how things worked in that day. People didn't just get engaged and then get married. And they didn't live together either. It just didn't happen. They would have what they call an espousal time. So the custom or culture of the day, they would be espoused. They would be considered man and wife. So they're legally married, but they don't live together. It's somewhat like an engagement, but they're considered man and wife. And during that time, if someone was found expecting, they would know there's foul play and there's a problem. In fact, if that happened and a man said, "How did my wife get pregnant? She's been unfaithful," one of the choices he had, stone her to death. So it was a serious thing. But they were considered man and wife. So here is Joseph, knowing they've had no relations together. His wife is found expecting. Imagine what would happen to him. Now, the Bible says at first he thought to put her away privately. That was a second choice. Just to kind of cover over it and yet not be that severe in judgment against her. And that may have been what he had done had he not known. So the angel appeared to him and said, "Don't be afraid." And so this revelation about the work of the Savior, all this was coming together for Joseph to understand. In Matthew 1:21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Think about that. He shall save his people. If man could save himself, then he wouldn't need a Savior. Christ would not need to be born. But no man can save himself. No man can redeem himself. No man can remit his own sin. No man is good enough to get to heaven. So a Savior is needed. And it was explained, he shall save his people from their sin. That's significant. You don't want to just read over that and not think about that. So Joseph understood this, that Jesus was going to be born of his espoused wife, Mary. And this child that is still in the womb, after is born, will save his people from their sin. Not just save them from their enemies, save them from their sin. How wonderful is that? That Joseph said, this is an amazing thing. Imagine the joy. Think of, and the amazing things, he believed the angel. You know, if you saw something or heard, or you woke up in a dream, you'd say, "What is that? And you realize, oh, that's just a dream." You know, you wouldn't believe that. But for an angel to appear to you, would you even know it? Would you recognize it? It was confirmed to him, this is the truth. This is an angel of God. And he believed it. It was the word of God sent by an angel. So he believed the angel and trusted in that and had the confidence to take Mary, his wife, a spouse. And then we know they traveled down to Bethlehem. And there the child was born in the city of David, who one day would sit on the throne of David, who was in the lineage of David. What a promise that was fulfilled. The message to Joseph was that there is a Savior who will save people from their sin. As a young person, I think I realized, and I had guilt in my life, I knew for my sin, that weight was on my back. And I thought, you know, I wish I could get rid of this, but yet just persist to live the way you're living. You understand what I'm saying. But to think for any person today that your sin could be taken away, the burden could be relieved off your back, your mind could be cleared, your conscience could be clear. There is a Savior who will save you from your sin, that will give to you eternal life, that will change your life. What a message, what a story. See, that's what Christmas is really about. That's why there's real joy. Now, I grant you, I think it's a great time of year. There are some people, it's their favorite time of year. Great to have the family together. All that's wonderful. Going to programs and certainly in church, that's a great thing. Being able to give gifts. There's no greater time than having small children in the home for Christmas. You know, that's a blessing. One of the things you don't want your children to grow up because that's one thing you'll miss. It won't be the same. But that's a great blessing. What a joy that is. But the real joy comes from the fact that there is a Savior that was born to a humble servant Mary. And he would save people from their sin, so that whosoever would receive him as their Savior would be born again and be saved. There's a third message, and that was to the shepherds. First, there was the appearance of one angel, and then suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And this message had four parts. So there was the proclamation of great joy to the people. We can get stressed because of too many activities, too much going on, cleaning the house, preparation, fixing meals. You know, we can get stressed with that. But you can't get stressed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart and life. That's the real message. There's joy. It's not just joyful time. It's not parades and Santa Claus. But there's joy that's peace in the heart. Peace that cannot, that will pass all understanding. The world cannot understand. So there is joy that comes from the Savior who came to this earth. Then there is the annunciation of Christ's birth. Then the sign by which the babe would be identified. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then the doxology is a glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In Luke 2:10, it says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Sovereignly, God chose the nation of Israel, but he chose the nation of Israel to bring joy to the whole world, to be a testimony to the whole world. And Jesus is a Savior for the whole world. It says he's the propitiation or payment for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So we know that the message to the shepherds was that there is hope, there is joy. This is a wonderful thing. And there is nothing that can destroy that joy except sin. That's the only thing that can take away that joy. Sin will tear us away from that joy. Now think about this scene. Here they are in Bethlehem. The baby is born, the fulfilled promise. The angel appears now, finally, to the angels. And here they are in the manger, whatever that scene might have looked like, a barn, a stable, whatever it might have looked like. And they hold that baby, the Son of God, in their arms. And Joseph looking over, they know this. He's going to bring joy to the whole world. Imagine what that must have been like. I don't know if there could be any couple happier giving birth to a child than that couple. What a scene that must have been. Don't you wish you could have been there and just looked through the window and watched their faces and to see the exuberance? And Mary, we have a baby boy and it's fulfilled just like the angel said. And he's going to bring joy to the whole world. He's going to bring peace to the world. He is the Savior of the world. The first message to Mary was a message of the faithfulness of God. The second message tells us the salvation for all men. But the third message is the outcome of that, the joy and the glory of God that comes as a result of it. So the prophets inquired, the angels desired, but the world requires, they require help, and they are in need. Think of this. Adam failed while living in a perfect paradise. They couldn't have had any better than they had it. Perfect weather. There's no problem. There's no bad part to live in, bad part of the garden. Everybody's in the same standing. God took care of them and fed them. They didn't have a care in the world, but they failed. They sinned. Suddenly they need help. Suddenly they need the mercy of God. Suddenly they need someone to come. And we know that God clothed them with coats of skin. But that was only a picture of the Savior who one day would come, who would be wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, who would then die on a cross for their sin. You don't go very far and you see that the nation of Israel failed. See that Noah failed, that the people in his day failed, so that only eight souls were saved through the flood. Israel was taken away into captivity, and we see periods of judgment upon Israel. They fail. And we see generally of mankind that, I tell you, we live in a very different world than where most of us grew up in. It is a very difficult day, a lot of dynamics working in the world. There's a lot of evil out in the world. We need someone to come to bring peace on the earth. And we don't need just a politician. We need someone who goes far beyond that, that is righteous and holy and right. So the world today is crying and they're in need. Here's the interesting thing. Though the world is in need, and though people and countries, individuals, all looking for something, looking for help, they will believe a lie. That someone will come who's a deception, who's an antichrist, pretend to be a savior, pretend to be a messiah, and people are so desperate, they'll believe them. And it says even the very elect could be deceived. They'll be so persuasive, they thought, he'll bring us the answer. He'll help our country. He'll bring peace. Instead, brings just the opposite. Total chaos and destruction like's never been seen on the face of the earth. Until finally, the one will come back whom they pierced into the city of Jerusalem and bring peace upon the earth. Wow, what a day that will be. For our Lord to return, and then the countries of the world, the nations that rise against God and against Israel will be destroyed. He will bring peace. And there will be people from all nations all over the world who believe, who have trusted in Him. He will finally bring that peace. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, He came and where's all the peace then? Why isn't there peace? Because people destroyed Him, crucified Him. They spit in His face and they mocked Him. People do that basically today. They say, I don't want to know anything about God. You know, don't preach religion to me. What difference is if you say that or if you were there at the cross and spit in His face? There's not much difference. It's the same animosity. It's the same attitude. But for those that believe, it's precious. And we hold on to these truths because we know what a day that will be when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to be with them. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Ultimately, after all that destruction the Revelation describes, people will beat their swords into plowshares. Farmers again. What a day that will be. Truly peace on the earth. No need for military. No need even for police. You know, if you're a policeman, think of another job. We won't need you. Truth is, I'm not sure we need preachers anymore. I mean, what a day that will be when He rules and reigns. You know, you can miss out on all these messages that are given. If God thought so much of sending an angel to make these announcements to these different people, and it's recorded in Holy Scripture, wow, what a shame to miss it. It is being preached all over the world. The gospel is going forth. Don't miss it. There is where you find the real meaning of Christmas and the real joy that comes by knowing this Savior who came to bring peace and joy in your heart and life. We may not experience it in the world. One day we will. But today we can experience it in our heart and our life and our mind. We can have peace so much so that you put your head on your pillow. You say, God's been a great day. I'm so happy and I have so much joy and peace in my heart. God can do that in your life. Let's bow for prayer this morning.